from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
I do. I like to have a good time. I like to party. In fact, you should listen every day on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Mm-hmm. All kind of cool features on there. You can take us everywhere and anywhere you go. If you already follow on the Odyssey app, hey, tell your people about it, man. We'd love for you to grow our following that way right there, our listenership that way right there. Everybody else on the AM FM dial, appreciate you. Tip to cap. Twitter, I'm sorry. Well, I appreciate you on Twitter as well. YouTube, Twitch, big shout out. I appreciate you. I like to party. There's no doubt about it. But I tell you what else I like to do. I like football horny audio. And whether it's Bobby Slowick, who we were going to talk about in Dirty's Daily, or the head man, D'Amico Ryans, after week 3 preseason game. Either way it goes, I like to hear from the coach. So, hey, I'm going to bring it to the people. Here's D'Amico Ryans, your Houston Texans head coach.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got a good team right here. It's a good team.
Coach, after reviewing the film, what did you see from your team on Saturday?
After reviewing the film, I really, you know, the one thing that stuck out to me is just the energy from our entire team. Kind of mentioned it a little bit, but on after the game, but to see the pure excitement and joy, guys having fun playing football, like that's what it's about, right? It felt special watching it on film. You see that connectedness, you see our guys truly excited for each other. Like, I love that about our team. I love where we are right now as a team.
When you have a player like Kamari Lassiter, a rookie like that, you watch him and he's able to flush out his mistakes. Is that a sign of, you know, just where he came from with the University of Georgia, how he's been coached for the past?
For Kamari, you can tell, like, he's built for this. Like, when it comes to the mental toughness piece that plays a lot into being a good football player at this level. Like, you have to be mentally tough. You have to have that next play mentality. And, you know, at Georgia, Kirby's done a great job, you can tell, of raising them the right way, of having those guys. Kirby's done a great job with all of his guys, having those guys NFL ready to go. And that's one thing you see from Georgia, like, year after year since he's been there, right? Those guys are plug and play type players, and it's a credit to him and his program and how they run things there. It's, you get a Georgia guy, you know you're getting an NFL player.
Can you talk about your first team offense? Did you see what you wanted from them in the time they were on the field?
For our first team offense, I did. I saw some really really bright spots, starting with the offensive line. I thought they did a really nice job of protecting. They were firm up front. They handled the edges well. And Titus and Blake did a good job on the edges, and we were firm on the interior. And also just the way we distributed the football, I wanted to see that, right? I wanted to see the ball in different places, different spots, and it was really cool for me to go back and watch and to see multiple guys touch the ball and be effective touching the ball. Nico, with the ball that he got. I mean, Tank had a nice one that was called back, but Diggs on the jet sweep and also the third down win. So Dalton, it was just multiple guys touching the ball. Can't forget Brevin making a really nice play to get a first down for us. It was just really cool to see, you know, multiple guys. And I talk to the guys all the time about how many playmakers we have on the offensive side. So it was just cool to see, you know, Bobby doing a great job with this staff of distributing it in a very good manner.
So, on the one play that got called back, play action to Kane down the sidelines, that kind of like deep outbreaking route, you see you're able to fire it in there. That's obviously not an easy throw. A lot of quarterbacks can't make that. But when you have a guy that can make those type of throws, whether the pocket's muddy or not, consistently, what does that do for an offense?
Yeah, it looks easy to CJ. Some of the throws he makes, it looks easy. But I always try to show our guys like how impressive it is with some of the plays that he makes, and you know, also, you know, how fine of a line, how close it has to be to make a play in this league. Like, it's tight coverage. Even the third down play to Diggs, they're playing tight man coverage. You got a plug player in the middle, but CJ held the plugger just long enough, right, to make a play. And it's plays like that to Tank on the sideline that I let guys know you can't get bored with seeing the good plays that CJ is able to make. Like, it's rare to see a young player make the plays that he makes, and you know, he's doing a great job of getting better each and every day, and that's what I enjoy most about working with him. Like, his competitiveness, his will, his drive and desire to get better, and it shows up on game day.
You're listening to head coach Mecca Ryans right here on Sports Radio 610.
On Thursday?
Yeah, we'll have joint practice with the Rams one day.
And will you turn your ones loose? You seemed to indicate that when we talked after the game. Will you have your ones against their ones, and do you have any hesitation doing that this late in camp?
Yeah, we'll compete versus the Rams. They're a good team, so we're excited about them coming in, and they'll give us some different looks, you know, offensively and defensively, and that's what joint practice is about, right? Getting good competitive work in, guys who know how to work the right way. That's the main thing about it. Like, we're not coming out to have a shoving match or anything like that. We're want to work against a really good football team, well-coached team that I respect what those guys have done since Sean has been there. So I'm excited to get to work with those guys.
What does a healthy Jimmy Ward do for you guys on defense? We saw it a little bit last year, dealt with some of the injuries. We obviously see what he can do in San Francisco. What does a healthy Jimmy Ward allow you guys to do on defense that maybe you can't do when he's not on the field?
Yeah, Jimmy, he provides, first off, is the communication piece. He's a great communicator, and Jimmy is versatile. I always loved his versatility. He can come down and play man coverage. He can play in the deep half of the field, like making plays. Jimmy is a very versatile player. I think that opens up a variety of things that we can do defensively when it comes to game planning wise.
To piggyback off Kim's question, what did you make of the first team rushing offense? It seemed like y'all got going in the second quarter to perform further, but the first team kind of struggled. I think they may have 5 yards. What did you make of that? I know there's a lot of context involved that we don't see. So
yeah, no, not sure how many rushes we had for our first unit. I know we had one outside zone play that we mistargeted a guy. We missed a guy, so a guy was free in the hole on one. And then another probably, you know, missed a run where we could have been downhill. But, you know, overall, I think just with our O-line, our tight ends, and how it's hard to judge off a couple runs. I think we threw the ball a lot with our first team, so there weren't really many runs to judge. And I don't want to, you know, judge our team off of 2 runs. That's unfair to, you know, make a judgment off of 2 runs. Yeah.
D'Amico, this is coming into your last preseason game and then getting ready to go to cut down.
What are y'all looking at? What are some of the parameters, some of the benchmarks y'all going to be looking at with this last game and then moving into the coming into the final cutdown and everything?
And coming into our last preseason game, it will be a really big opportunity for a lot. I always say young guys, but it's a lot of guys on our team who aren't just solidified ones on our team. So it's an opportunity for those guys, you know, one last week to show the improvements that they made, to show that they belong, to show that they can help our team, you know, be a successful team this year. So it's just one more look for guys. And, you know, I think at this point we've seen what a lot of our guys can do. We've seen how they can help us. And I just want to see those guys, if they can take another jump, right? Can they take another jump? Can they correct the things that need to be corrected? And can the guys just go out and compete and play fast football for us?
Think of the roof panels obviously missing there. Did you notice it? Did it have any effects on the play or the playing conditions when you were out there on Saturday?
The roof panels were, well, those two roof panels are open, but I did not see it have an effect on any of the players. It didn't have an effect on the game at all. At times, right, if the sun wasn't shining, you didn't even notice it for a second, and the temperature or anything, you didn't feel any difference there. So it didn't have any effects on us.
Coach, a lot of people know that, you know, you and Matt call the defensive plays, but a lot of people don't see the work that Dino does with Derek and what he does with Kamari. Can you just talk about how he's been able to help Derek take that next step and how he's bringing Kamari along?
Yeah. Dino has done a great job working with our corners, specifically working with Stingley, and just training him on his technique, training him on just finishing every play, and just instilling that confidence in him that when the ball goes up, like, it's your ball, go make the play. And so it's a huge credit, hats off to Dino for the work that he's done. And I was blessed that Dino was here before I got here, and just talking with him, understanding he's a good young football coach who has a bright future in his league, and he's done a really great job with the corners, working with those guys every single day. He's done a great job of leading that room, and you see the production from those guys, and that's a direct correlation to the work that Dino has done with those guys and how he has those guys prepared and ready to play.
Last one.
So when you think about being at this point in a preseason for young guys who are, like you said, maybe not the ones, do you remember just the mental piece and what that's like navigating? How do you not press, overthink it? What can you say about that part?
Yeah, it's tough at this point in the league for all the guys, right? All the teams are in this same spot. And I tell our guys, you have to block out all of the noise, the external noise and, unfortunately, the internal noise, where you may have some doubt or you're thinking, oh, are they keeping this many guys? It's like you have to block all those things out because you never know what can happen. And also at this point in time, if you don't make it, that doesn't mean that that's the end for you, right? There are a lot of guys who have had successful careers in this league who didn't get that first yes, right? It was a little journeyman to find their way, but they found their way and they made a career in the league. So it's just about how guys attack it, right? Attacking it the right way and just continuing to work on themselves and focus on getting better. No problem. Thank you, guys.
That's Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. You are listening to Sports Radio 610, The Drive, Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley. And we got a couple of minutes here, Ron. I know one part of what he addressed there, the run game. To me, that's the A story, unless you want powder puff, and unless you just want good feels, unless you just want somebody to come in here and stroke the team all day long. The real question, I think, topic out of what we watched on Saturday is the run game, is Damian Pierce. He had some really good comments there. Tyler will cut that, and we'll pull it, and we'll circle back to that, Ron. But the other than that, I thought one thing really stuck out, and this is a positive for all my positive Paulies out there. Listen up. The pass protection and the way that C.J. Stroud distributed the football was something that deserves some airtime on Sports Radio 610, Ron. The way in which Dexter Lawrence, the only time he ever came into play in the drives when the starters were on the field was the batted pass on fourth and goal, which the team would have kicked a field goal anyway at that point in time. I don't want to minimize that because that was a play that he made. The point being is that's a guy that if Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green aren't on the up and up and aren't playing good football, that guy could potentially dominate a game and could damn sure put C.J. Stroud in a spot where he doesn't complete a ball to every receiver he's got, right? I mean, so the distribution of the football to multiple guys is unbelievably promising given all the conversations we've had about this receiving core and tight ends leading up to today. But, Ron, the job Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs did, and I haven't seen the film, but the job they did just relative to keeping C.J. Stroud's pocket clean for the most part was an admirable job, a hell of a job.
Yeah, Blake Fisher over there on the left side, yep, too, with Burns and Thibodeau. Now, Thibodeau, there was a couple of times that there was some pressure there, but the great thing is C.J. is really, really good at avoiding sacks. C.J.'s really good at getting the ball out and helping his offensive line. And that's why we've all talked about, now Tunzel gets in, I think he's the best in the game when it comes to pass blocking. But man, Kenyon, Juice, old Jerome, just stalemates. Old Jerome, like, now nobody's telling you you can't step up and be really good, but at least at least just hold your own, because C.J. can also help with that. You know, they had Dexter Lawrence, and a couple of times Dexter Lawrence had his name called, and a couple of times he got some bull rushes, but it wasn't just, oh my God, man, all you do is see that big dude right there. Now, there's a couple of times he got some push, but I think they did what we asked. Hold your own. Hold your own. And there was no way that the defensive line of the Giants came and destroyed the game, and they got dudes that are capable of doing it.
Well, we'll get to the run game part of what's going on in Houston. It's got to be discussed, guys. It's get right time. It's get the work in time. It's a complete your team time. It's take the next step time in training camp. How do the Texans do that? They get the running game right. And so we will get there, Ron. But I'm telling you, if this team at the very least, if this team, as you mentioned, Laremy Tunsil, Shaq Mason, Titus Howard, pretty confident in those guys. If Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green in the middle can hold it down, if they can just hold it down the way they did Saturday for a quarter, if they can do that for four quarters and make it where Dexter Lawrence bats the ball down on a key down and that's his box score for the day, yeah, this is going to be a really, really, really good football team and a great season for all of us Texans fans. If C.J. Stroud can play one quarter and with the exception of a couple of penalties that called him back, every receiver that was in uniform caught a football. The only guy that's considered a weapon for C.J. Stroud that didn't catch a football was Joe Mixon, who didn't play. I mean, everybody else touched the rock and touched the rock in rhythm, on time, and that's not easy to do, man. We take it for granted because we have C.J. That's not easy to do, so that was impressive. That run game, is the jury's still out, but boy, that damn pass game is second to none.
Yeah, we'll get to it all. Coming up, that was good to hear from the head coach. Now to the captain of the Astros, Joe Espada. We'll hear from him as he has updates on Luis Garcia, updates on Justin Verlander, updates on Alex Brickman. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, nice to hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. We do. We gotta address this. He said something about the run game, and he seemed to have an explanation about the issue with the run game, but if you listen to it, he did sneak a little bit of blame, just a tad bit of blame in his comments. We'll let you hear that coming up in just a bit. But Joe Espada also spoke today. And listen, we're going to give you the good news, so buckle up, guys. Here's the good news first from Joe Espada. A lot of news and notes
for the Astros ahead of their series with the Boston Red Sox. But this is Joe Espada. This is hot off the press, just happened in the last few minutes. Joe Espada on an update with Justin Verlander.
Yeah, he'll start on Wednesday.
Will he be on any sort of a pitch count? I know he only got up to 57 in his last rehab start.
Yeah, you know what? We'll see how the outing goes and how efficient he is. I don't want to put a number because he can surprise us. But we're going to keep a close eye on his workload for sure.
How about it? He's back in the rotation. Verlander's back Wednesday.
Baby.
I wonder if anybody followed up with, is anybody leaving the rotation or are we going to six?
What's the plan? Go to a six. What's it's got to be plan? Six-man rotation. Got to be.
Hey, let's go. Oh, JV back here. Back there. Hey, he's got some time. He should be rested. Hopefully he is good. His last outing, he went four innings and struck out the side in his final out, topped to 96 miles an hour for the 41-year-old. He'll be starting Wednesday. I mean, like, ain't no warm-ups, baby. We put you right in against the Boston Red Sox. A tough lineup, a lineup that makes pitchers work they have this year. So he is back on Wednesday starting for the Astros. Starting for the Astros, as you said, this has to mean a six-man rotation. That does make sense. All right, I'm going to save the Bregman stuff for last. Here is his update. We've heard a lot with Luis Garcia what this could mean. This is the latest and his most recent update on Luis Garcia.
Yes, Luis will start playing catch this weekend.
Yes.
But I'm also, the plan here is for getting ready for 2025. He will not pitch this season. There isn't enough days to get him back on the mound this season. We're not going to rush that process. We need Luis for the future. And right now, he's progressing well, but he will not pitch this season.
All right. Well, Luis Garcia, that option is gone, but luckily for them, they were able to bring in Kikuchi and some other moves in the bullpen. So, listen, I know Garcia was one that we were hoping to see back, and you could see how he could help, but I'm with him. There's no reason to take your time or to not take your time or try to rush him. I don't think you need it right now, and you can be ready for him next year when you start to potentially have some guys that are going to be hurt with Tommy John and some guys leaving.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's a lot worse, or he's not near as far along as we were led to believe, right? Because with the Astros doing what they're doing in August, you would think that you still got two more months of baseball before. I mean, like, even if he were to get right. Now, I don't know how he would do that. Like, I don't know exactly what that entails once the minor league seasons are over. But, like, if he could get right, I would imagine that guy could potentially help you or at least be available could potentially help you. But I understand. I'm with you.
He said there's not enough days and you don't.
All of a sudden there's not enough days now. There was a month ago.
Yeah, he's had two setbacks. Like right, two setbacks, right. Two different
so
times.
So clearly it's worse than.
Something's not ready. He had two separate times he's pitched, and it pitched in the minors for rehab starts and had to be shut down. And this time it seems they're going to take their time with it. All right, yeah. The big one today is coming from Alex Bregman. And Alex Bregman, the big tip is he was not in the lineup, and that was thought to the big tip.
You call me what you need something?
The big indication.
Oh, you weren't talking. I thought you were talking
that
to me.
Alex Bregman wasn't going to play today is that he was not in the lineup. That was the big one. That was the big one first. And then we hear from Chandler Rome saying Alex Bregman was never going to play today and probably not going to play tomorrow either. Well, here is Joe Espada with his response to the Alex Bregman situation.
He hit. He took ground balls, and he's asking, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. No, he just hit in cages. He took some ground balls. So we'll see how he feels, and before you guys ask me if he's available or not. I got to say it how he feels, and we go from there.
All right. Well, he says he's took some swings and said that. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. Chandler Rome says he was never going to play today and probably not going to play tomorrow.
I mean, isn't that...
stark contrast. Remember that time when they said...
Bregman's like, if this is true, Bregman's like, man, I ain't never telling y'all I got a flamed up elbow ever again. I'm not ever going to let y'all know I need a day off because, hell, you make it... I'm over here begging you to put me back. I'm over here... Well, yeah, two, three, whatever. I'm in here begging. I gotta beg my way back in the damn lineup. If this is true, right? I mean, I highly doubt it. But if that put me in, coach, I'm ready to play.
Put me in, coach, I'm ready.
What is that, Casey at the bat?
Put me in, coach.
It's a song, isn't it?
I'm ready to play. Yeah.
Today.
Look at me. I could be center field.
What song is that? What's the name of that song? Put me in, coach?
Yeah. You think
he's playing? You think he just heard that maybe in warm-ups or something and said, let me use this line?
So you're not even for sure that conversation even happened from Alex.
It can't be. Why would a manager say that?
But where is Chandler Rome getting his intel? Because Chandler's in, he was never going to play today. You remember that time, Tyler, when Chandler Rome came out and said that Justin Verlander was going to have Tommy John?
Yeah.
And Dusty was hard about it. They denied the hell out of it. And then 2 days later, they came out and said.
Well,
he does. He does have to have Tommy. Just complete difference. All right. Hopefully it's nothing. He's taking swings in the bat cage. Can he throw? Has he taken ground balls? Can he throw?
Meanwhile, Tucker's out there hopping around the outfield like a bunny. He did. Hop, little bunny, hop, hop, hop.
Yeah, if you're wondering about
bunny, hop, hop, hop.
You're wondering about Tucker.
That's what Tuck's out there doing.
He's out there hopping, taking some swings in the from the machine in the bed.
I'm gonna tell you, if Tuck can hop like that, he can run.
Sure wasn't able to do anything at Tampa last week. But these damn Astros, boy.
I gotta show my little girl that video, man. She likes that song, Hop Little Bunny. Say, baby, this is how you're supposed to be hopping right here.
Why don't you take it and put the song behind it? Take it, put the song behind it. Tyler's that gifted talent. All right, coming up, we talked about there was an interesting comment that D'Amico made about the run game. To me, when you're talking about front and center from the game, outside of John Mechie and his performance, CJ and them coming out healthy and looking pretty solid, Jalen Petrie and that defense coming up with turnovers, five turnovers, as D'Amico said, the run game or the lack thereof, especially from the first unit, had to be one of the big talking points. Well, he addressed it, and wait till you hear what he had to say. That's coming.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
D'Amico Ryan spoke to the media today. If you missed it, you could go back to the 4 o'clock hour. We're in it. At 4 o'clock, a little after 4. You heard that right here live on The Drive. You could listen to what he had to say in its entirety. But to me, they tried to get him to address, hey, how'd you feel about the offense? And he went right to the passing game. Later on, they circled back and more specific to the run game. And I thought it was interesting because to me, in looking at this team and you start to talk about things for the future, things for the season, the run game with Damian Pierce, with all of them, the offensive line, all the ones were in there in the offensive line with the exception of Laremy Tunsil. I think that was a big point of conversation after the game. This was D'Amico today with his thoughts on the rushing attack.
Yeah, no, not sure how many rushes we had for our first unit. I know we had one outside zone play that we mistargeted a guy. We missed a guy, so a guy was free in the hole on one. And then another probably, you know, missed a run where we could have been downhill. But, you know, overall, I think it's with our O-line, our tight ends, and how it's hard to judge off a couple runs. I think we threw the ball a lot with our first team, so there weren't really many runs to judge, and I don't want to, you know, judge our team off of two runs. That's unfair to, you know, make a judgment off of two runs.
So a couple there is, it looks like there's in one part where he is saying we missed a block that kind of blew up a play, and then talked about we missed an opportunity to run downhill that kind of blew up an opportunity for them to have something in the run game. So those were two plays, obviously, he's going back and watched that he specifically brought up there in his assessment of the run game. And I guess for you, is this I don't think this is just a one-part thing. I think it's an all-parts thing. But do you think we've reached the point where Damian Pierce potentially is no longer should be the number two running back?
Look, I mean, I think with every carry, he gets closer and closer to no longer being the number two running back right now. I mean, I don't think that's rocket science to anybody. I don't think D'Amico Ryans or Bobby Slowick would disagree with it. There's no way if you're now we're getting down to where it's close to the season, man. It's put up or shut up, man. It rubber's fixing to meet the road. You've got to have your guys, especially your backup running back in this system. You've got to have that guy ready to rock and roll. And look, man, Bobby Slowick, the one thing, he's been unbelievably good with the quarterback and in the pass game. And with pass protection and receivers and everything that goes into the pass game, he's been tremendous. He's not had the ability to generate a run game, a consistent run game. And what he just mentioned, what D'Amico Ryans just mentioned, is what happens all too often. We either miss the cut or there's a free runner coming through. So it's definitely a double-edged sword. Do you want to have a conversation about the run game or do you want to have a conversation about Damian Pierce? When it's all said and done, Damian Pierce, I believe, has had 8 carries this season. Damian Pierce has had 2 or 3 drives this season. And it's been more of the same in the run game. He has not impacted at all in the pass game. I don't recall how the drives necessarily ended up. I know this. When Cam Akers gets in the ball game, up front looks very similar. There's free runners. There's not a whole lot of room to run, but it took 6 plays for him to figure out how to make a play on his own with that cutback. So Damian Pierce is at a point, Ron, where I'm not ready to run him out of town. I'm not ready to say that the Texans should cut, you know, cut ties with him. But there is no doubt about it that this team is getting closer and closer to a point where they're going to have to decide, do they want to continue to make him a priority and continue at this point? We've not seen anything to believe that this is not right. To waste downs and ultimately waste drives. There's going to be a handful of touches for the backup running back in the regular season, assuming Joe Mixon is healthy and stays healthy. Are you really in a spot when Bobby Slowick has to generate a run game? DeMeco Ryans has to get, if you want to win a Super Bowl, you've got to get this run game rolling. Are you really in a spot where you can continue to make a guy that is not shown you anything different from last year, in which you relieved him of his duties? Are you ready to continue to give that guy and make that guy the priority? I don't know how they can afford to do that, Ron.
Yeah, Glenn, as you said, you're not ready to say that he should be done here. I think I am, and my reasoning is, I just think it may be good for both parties. I guess I may die on this hill. I believe that he can play football. I believe he is much, much better than what he has shown. You just don't forget at what is he, 25? You just don't all of a sudden from age 23 or 24 to 25 or 26 go from what he was then to here. All right. When I was absolutely dead wrong, and there are people who like to remind me on a daily basis about my thought of what David Johnson was going to be, David Johnson at least was at an age where we normally see running backs kind of move to the next, kind of fall off a bit, lose steps. That's not where we are right here. I think, obviously, something upstairs with him, the match, whatever, what he's hearing, what he is seeing to imply on the field is completely at a complete loss at this point. And I feel like they may need to go separate spaces. Because I do. I think Damian Pierce can play football in this league. Watched it 2 years ago. That dude can play ball. Clint, I just don't think that it's going to happen here. It just doesn't seem like, and to the point you're making of, hey, let's keep riding here. This is upstairs. Hell, Clint, he caught a kickoff return and looked unsure of himself.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He I agree with you. The kid hadn't forgotten how to play. I think in with this particular staff, what they're asking him to do, I think it has to do with everything they're asking him to do, is probably a little bit much for him. Well, the system that we saw him play well in was a keep it simple, play fast system. There's everywhere Pep Hamilton's been. It is how quickly can I coach these guys up in this offense, and we got to play a game in a week. And Damian Pierce thrived in that particular system. This particular system is one where you've got to, I would imagine it's just much deeper, and there's a lot more decisions have to be made. And for whatever reason, that's impacting his ability to do the very basic run plays that he's ran since he was 5 years old. I mean, it's the wildest thing, but it is what it is at this point in time. And other guys, everybody in a running back room that played on Saturday for the Texans found a way to make a play. They found a way to stand out and make a play and get the crowd out of their seat. Damian Pierce had four tries at it and looked abysmal.
Yeah, I just think there's a split there that needs to occur, because I just think he just doesn't have it here at this point. Now, I'm glad you brought up, two things can both be true. Damian Pierce is in a place where I don't think he should be getting carries, and he doesn't have it here. But I'll be damned. I know what DeMeco said. He talked about kind of two different runs. Man, even when Cam Akers was in the game and it was ones and twos there, there seems to be a lot of missed blocks. There seems to be a lot of initial penetration that I'm not 100% certain that Joe Mixon is going to flourish with. Like, we talk about the Cam Akers, and Cam Akers had one run where I felt like a lot of people in the press box, and I saw a lot of people in Texans Twitter going off about, see, there it is. Just let him be running back too. All right, he made that play. I bet you he don't make that play 5 out of 10 times. Right? I bet you he is caught a few times. You just can't live on, all right, man, stretch play to the right. All right, this is how we're gonna get positive yardage. There's somebody right there in his face, but he reverses field and it gets 14 yards. Like, you can't live like that. There is way too much from the first. I said it to you in the press box. It's almost as if they're taught this way. Yeah. There's so much penetration, not just with the first unit, but second, third unit. It's like they're all taught that way. Go watch how many runs you see where it seems like there's instant penetration or somebody that the back has to try to avoid immediate.
We're close, Ron. We're close. Yeah, I mean, look, that's, you know, that was tongue in cheek, by the way. The Texans run.
That's what was said last year.
Yeah, that's what was said all year last year. The Texans run game is a problem. I said this earlier. Right now, if we had to ask Bobby Slowick, and Bobby Slowick had to answer the question truthfully, and you said, Bobby, you got one run play. What are you calling? Mm. I don't think there's one run play. I don't care what scheme you talk, inside, outside zone, split zone, all the different G schemes, where you're pinning and pulling and doing good athletic guards, whatever. I don't think Bobby Slowick can look you dead in the eye and say, I need 2 yards. Here's my play. I don't think Bobby Slowick feels good. Because here's the deal. It's not whether you can or you can't. It right now, it is any given play, run play, that Bobby Slowick calls, it is a crapshoot of whether a free runner contacts the running back 2 yards deep in the backfield.
Dang it, Bobby.
More or less, it's got to work if the running back can avoid at least one defender immediately. Yeah.
Well, there's just nothing I don't think there's anything at this point that we've seen that Bobby Slowick feels really, really good about. And you're at a spot where you've got so much invested in your offensive line that you got to feel good about something. You got to find a way to feel good about something. So we can talk about Damian Pierce, and that is, to me, this top story. But two things can be true. Damian Pierce is struggling, and this offensive line, there's way too much leakage, whether it's linebackers shooting or it's D-line penetrating. There's just way too much leakage in the run game.
I watch it. I'm like, God, I wonder what Joe Mixon would have done with this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the film, because I want to see Agumba Wale. I want to see Damian Pierce, and I want to see the first half of the Texans game.
I saw someone text in. I am not one that just says, hey, chill out, wait till Laremy Tunsil and Joe Mixon get back. And they're better than what's out there. But,
well, if every time you call a run play, or looks every time's extreme, if the majority of the time that you call a run play, you're expecting, like, if when we get to a point with the Texans run game where we are expecting our backs, like the first response about the Texans run game, oh, running back should be able to make that guy miss. You're right. They should be able to make those guys miss. Devin Singletary was able to make those guys miss last year, clearly better than Damian Pierce. But the damn running back shouldn't have to make somebody miss 2 yards deep in the backfield every damn time. I mean, that's the key is...
Not nearly the amount of times it happens to the Texans the last couple of years. All right, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of Astros news, including something that just came about here in the last minute. We'll fill you in on that. And what D'Amico had to say in terms of joint practices this week, maybe that gives us a hint on how much we will see from the starters, if any, coming up in their final preseason game. All of that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.